Peter Gagg, who drives it through. Oh, that's a magnificent goal, a sensational goal by the Hullamal captain, Mitchell van der Gagg.
We hit the high notes on the park. It was, that's how we came, became a great team together, you know. It was just unfortunate, we never won anything.
Men's in trouble, there's Steve Kirk. The super sub has done it again. And Mullerwell are back in front.
Without supporters, you cannot play a game. They are a very, very important part of the club.
Jukovic on the chase, might get there. Handel is with it. Jukovic! Oh, wow! Oh, wow! Lukas Jukovic!
I remember to this day, it was unbelievable, and that's another reason I love going back to Fir Park, because you do get to interact with the supporters again, who were wonderful for me.
Chance here for Motherwell. This is Pettigrew, outnumbered though, still has it. Chance of a lifetime for Pettigrew, and it is there!
Yeah, obviously being on the podcast is everything I've dreamed of.
Goes through the middle though, Marvin Johnson. Defenders backing off. To good deflection!
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. Tonight, myself, Jay and Buster will go over a very, very disappointing weekend. A 6-0 defeat to Hearts on the back of such a great run of form. It was a hard one to take, but hopefully, guys, you've pepped yourself up a wee bit.
Just about. Yeah, I suppose so.
We were actually meant to be joined by Matthew Grant tonight as well. Unfortunately, Matty can't make it. We wish him all the best with everything, and we'll hopefully catch him up soon. Jay, Saturday was always going to be a very tough afternoon. The selection headaches facing Mark McGee made that task that bit more difficult. That being said, a 6-0 going over like that, we certainly didn't see that coming.
No, it's a dire result anyway you look at it. I know that we obviously went into it with the selection problems that you mentioned. No team is going to be able to lose to, you know, integral midfielders, the likes of Lasley and Grimshaw. When you look at what we've done this season, particularly since McGee came in, those two players have been vital to everything we've done. So you don't lose those players and, you know, just be able to carry on the way as is. You need to, you know, deal with that. But you know, that's why you have a squad, that's why you have a manager that takes those decisions. For me, he got the decisions wrong. That's not hindsight. You know, if I'd been on the podcast last week saying about how, oh, we could play Josh Law at centre mid and then come on this week and say, oh, McGee got it wrong, then, you know, fair enough. But for me, you know, I said last week that it was a game for someone like Cadden, someone like Leach, you know, a central midfielder to come into the team. I think I even suggested the idea of maybe sacrificing one of the strikers just to go, you know, three in the middle of the park to try and give us a little bit more cover. And I just thought, you know, I thought he got it wrong in terms of team selection before the game. You know, it's worth pointing out, I wasn't at the game. You know, you two guys were. There was a bit of a Facebook group chat while you guys were on the way through. And I think I mentioned it there, the fact that as soon as I saw that lineup, I had the absolute fear. But even at that point, I don't think I quite comprehended, you know, a scoreline as bad as that. You know, I thought we'd get beat as soon as I saw the lineup, but the scoreline was just something else. It was an absolute doing. And they're not nice when they happen. But particularly in a game like that, where I think that it could have been approached in a better fashion, I think that McGee got it wrong. And I think when he came out afterwards and said, you know, we had no choice, you know, he said that, you know, we put a lot at centre mid and we had no choice. That's you know, that's quite plainly not true. You know, we did have a choice. Chrissy Cadden, Jack Leach, you know, he's even tried to play Louis Lang at centre mid, so it's something that was obviously in the back of his mind at some point. So we did have a choice, and unfortunately McGee took the wrong one on Saturday and we were roundly punished for it.
Buster, a concerning point that we discussed following our brief stint at Tynecastle on Saturday was the younger players and the seeming lack of faith that Mark McGee seems to have in boys like Luke Watt, Jack Leach, Chrissy Cadden. All we could have perhaps come into the team and I think done a better job. then the likes of Jay's example, Josh Law in the centre of the park, Stephen Hamill at right back. If you like, he put players out of position and out their comfort zones when he had players that can play in these positions available to him.
You're right, there's players who do play in those positions, as you say, but you know, he's obviously got no, I think it's pretty obvious he's got no faith in Jack Leach. I think he mentioned himself, you know, that Jack Leach was quite far away from first team football at one point. When we've seen the team lineup, you know, we were sitting there trying to work out how it was going to be. I don't think MD suspected it was going to be Stevie Hamill at right back. You know, we were looking at it thinking it was going to be Chalmers or, you know, one of my thoughts was Hamill, you know, at centre mid, going back to the Stuart McCall Cup final for a couple of years ago. But I don't think they should have moved Josh Law, to be fair. You know, he's settled in there at right back, keep the back four the same way it was. Fair dues, you know, we were short of players, you know, it was, everybody knew that, but I think, you know, there's the midfield was unsettled. I don't think there was any point in unsettling the back four as well. So, you know, it would have been nice to see maybe one of the younger boys get a run out there, but as I say, you know, he's obviously got no faith in any of them, so it was going to be a defeat anyway, as you say. I don't think any of them were too confident, but to lose 6-0 was very depressing.
Jay, the thing for me, the most disappointing thing about Law in the middle of the park is, I think Josh Law's having his best spell in a middle jersey. He's been very much improved since Mark McGee came in. He looks a lot more confident since Mark McGee came in. So to potentially play someone out of position and to the detriment of their confidence levels, that's a bit of a dangerous thing as well. It'll be very interesting to see how, well, Josh Law and the rest of the team pick themselves up after an embarrassing defeat.
Well, that's it. As I said, McGee quite plainly, you know, quite simply got it completely wrong. You know, we're talking about faith in youngsters, whether he has faith in youngsters. I think that applies more when you're talking about players pushing for the first team. If you're sitting saying, you know, oh well, Cadden could maybe get a few more games, or Thomas could maybe get a few more games, but McGee doesn't really fancy them, then fair enough, because he's got to pick a first team, you know, that he thinks is going to win the game. But when you're going into a game with, you know, a depleted lineup, you know, with the issues in the middle of the park that we had, for me it becomes less about, you know, faith in young players and more about being sensible, more about, you know, picking the players who at least know how to play that role. It's not, you know, it's not FIFA where these guys have got, you know, an overall rating and you can kind of get away with putting them in certain positions. You know, you're talking about, you may not have faith in Jack Leach or Chris Cadden, but these are guys who, you know, spend every day of their careers playing in a particular position, working and playing in that position. And there's a lot more to playing in any particular position on a park than just the standard physical attributes like pace and strength. You know, it's about positioning. It's about knowing where to be and when to be and how to play that role. And when you start making a change, like putting Josh Law into the centre of the park, and then, you know, obviously filling in his gap by moving Hamill over, then you need to fill in the gap you've now made by putting Joe Chalmers in. It just becomes a bit of a farce. You know, we said last week, and I maintain McGee's done a really good job since he came in. He's done really well, but the game on Saturday and the game up in Dingwall where he tried to put Marvin Johnson at left back raises questions for me in his ability to deal with, you know, big decisions when we know what his favourite team is. We know that we can play really well and get results when he can put that team out. But, you know, those games in particular have shown that when, you know, the chips are down and he needs to make changes, he's tried to be smart with the changes for a start. He's tried to make changes that I don't think anybody else would make, and they've really not come off. I mean, he's completely ballsed it up. As for where we go from here, I think, you know, Lasley coming back is obviously a massive thing. So if you can go into Saturday now with Lasley back at centre mid, Law back to right back, then hopefully, you know, the players can kind of get back into that mindset of before Tynecastle. But, you know, you're talking about young players. I mean, there's Ben Hall. I mean, you know, he's been fantastic so far this season. You know, he's came in, he's looked as though he's been there, you know, for a couple of seasons alongside McManus. but that'll be a big, you know, a big thing. You know, conceding six goals in a league tie, that is a big issue for a centre back. It'll be interesting to see how he even reacts to that. So you're right. You know, big questions and on how we move forward, because all the momentum, all the positivity, you know, you would like to think it's still there, but you know, an absolute doing like we got on Saturday can have, you know, negative consequences.
A lot of the chat following the game, Buster, was whether this was just a blip or maybe a sign of things to come. Given the selection headaches that faced the manager, I'm willing to go with that it was a blip and that we can bounce back with a much improved performance and result against Ross County on Saturday. But this is a test. It's a test of the character of the team and the management to be able to pick up the players. We knew that the good run of form was going to end, but to end so emphatically, it's a sore one to take. And as Jay pointed out, some of the younger players in the team, this will be their first time that they've had to react to such adversity.
Yeah, as you say, it's going to be a test of, you know, everybody's character. How they react to basically taking an absolute thumping. I don't think it's going to be a sign of things to come. If we, you know, happen to get beat once every 5-6 games, I'm fair game for that, whether it is a 6-0 win or a 6-0 loss or a 1-0 loss. You know, I'm fair game for that. But as you say, it's going to be a big test of the characters here when it comes to how they react. You know, after taking such a doing, I think it, you know, as Jay says, I think it was maybe yourself. Sorry, you know, Lansley's going to come back into the team, so there's going to be a bit more shape about it. But it'd be interesting to see if we, you know, have any activity in the transfer market to replace, you know, maybe Grimshaw, because I think we're a bit weak in the middle of the park.
Yeah, I'd say I certainly agree with Buster there. But that's certainly a weak spot. Now the departure of Grimshaw. Perhaps it was underplayed while he was at the club, how big a player he was for us. Certainly in his first game that he was missing this weekend, we certainly noticed how much a big loss he was.
I think he's been, you know, really, really good for us. Like a lot of loan signings, I think you can look back at guys like Jukovic, for example, you know, guys who came in and took a wee while to get going, but then once they settled in and once they get used to that kind of first team action week in, week out, they were, you know, massive players for us. I thought Grimshaw was a great player because, you know, he played that right midfield position well. You know, he got forward, he took players on at times, but he also gave you that grit. He could slot inside. He loved a hard challenge. He was, you know, able to get the sleeves rolled up and get stuck in. So I think he was ideal for, you know, Scottish football in a way. So that's a big player to replace. And, you know, we saw on Saturday there, you lose a player for good in Grimshaw and you get Lasley suspended and suddenly, you know, it's utter chaos. Suddenly you're, you know, punting players all over the place to try and fill gaps. So that, you know, to me says that, you know, quite obviously we need to look at midfielders first and foremost, because, you know, if McGee isn't even going to put in young players in that circumstance, which let's not forget, you know, there are many, many stories and many, many tales of, you know, young players who are thrown in at the deep end when they're not expected to be because of suspensions, because of injuries, and they grab it with both hands. If we've got a manager who isn't prepared to even, you know, give players that chance, then, you know, we need to bring in some midfielders, because the last place we want to be is, you know, at the end of the transfer window, Lasley gets another suspension or Pearson gets, you know, a couple of red cards as he possibly could. Suddenly, you know, we're back to Saturday again because we don't have players that the manager's, you know, has enough trust in to play, put in there. So yeah, hopefully central midfielders are definitely top of his priority list.
Yeah, this is it for me. I said that after a few too many on Saturday night, and I still actually stick by it. I think you'd be as well sending out guys like Luke Watt, Chrissy Cadden, Jack Leach. Craig Reid's obviously one that could have slotted in at right back as well. He's clearly well out of the picture. If these guys are not going to feature and there's no desire from the manager to play these guys, then we need to get them off the wage bill, whether it be on loan or whether it be a permanent move. Because I can't foresee McGee leaving the club. So if these guys aren't fancied, then we've got no use for them. We want to be moving on, freeing up some wages and bringing in players that McGee does believe is good enough to play in the Premiership. As you say, that a few injuries and a few suspensions, suddenly we could, it changes the whole complex of the team, and it really could cause us a lot of bother going forward if we're reliant on such a small pool of players, despite the fact we've got a relatively big squad.
It's just, it's something, I mean, again, you know, the nature of a podcast when you're talking about football is that you're going to focus more on the negative. So, you know, we're suddenly moaning about Martin McGee, despite the fact that he has done a good job when he came in. But one thing is, I can't quite get my head around what his viewpoint is on blood and young players, because there was no need, or presumably there was no need, at least from the outside looking in, there didn't seem to be any hint or any suggestion that he was going to throw Hall into centre-back. You know, for me, Kennedy was our best defender of the season. Obviously, McManus, you know, for all the criticism he's been getting, he's obviously going to be in and around the first team. Lang was obviously a big player last season. So the fact that he came in and threw Hall into that lineup from nowhere kind of suggests that he is prepared to take a chance in young players. But then, you know, it's almost like a Jekyll and Hyde scenario where you've got a game where you need to take a chance in the young players. That is the games. You know, you tell young players to work hard in training, you know, and wait for your chance. That chance should have been there on Saturday. You know, Cadden, Leach, whoever, there was massive gaps in the midfield. And if you're a young player who is presumably on the fringes or is making the bench every so often or whatever, if you're playing that position, that is the time you should get your chance. Okay, it might not work, but it's then down to you to grab it with both hands. So I can't quite get my head round where McGee is on young players. You know, Dom Thomas is perhaps one of our most exciting young players for a good few years, and we're talking about sending him on loan. We have a team that was crying out for players who know how to play in the middle of the park, and we have players who know how to play in the middle of the park, but we don't trust them enough to play them. And yet, you know, Hall comes in when nobody was expecting it. So it seems really, really bizarre. I'm not questioning that McGee, you know, has a good idea of what he's doing, but it's really hard to fathom exactly what his viewpoint is on young players.
I think it all comes down to, you know, basically either his opinion or what, you know, maybe Stevie Craigan or whoever it is that's running the young the unders is telling him about these players. You know, if he's not watching them directly, somebody's watching them, and you know, somebody somewhere must be saying, "These players, are they ready for this, for a step up?" It's all right, you know, sitting here, obviously we're all guessing, but there's going to be somebody at the club who is watching these players, and I don't imagine, you know, that there's going to be somebody there who's saying, these players should be playing in this team, and then nobody pays any sort of attention to it, especially when it comes to a situation like Saturday where we are so short.
It's a massive lack of trust, though, in my opinion. I really don't believe that he's got enough faith in certain young players to come in and play. I know we've talked about the kind of risk if it doesn't work. Well, it didn't work on Saturday with a massive reshuffle that we did, so I struggle to believe that we'd have been any worse off by giving these young players a chance. Guys that are surely got a real desire and hunger to play football at the highest level in Scotland and beyond. If they're not going to be given the chance, you'll never know if they're good enough.
Well, I think, as I said, for me, the whole idea about having faith in youngsters, I mean, he obviously clearly doesn't have it if he's going to make the changes that he did on Saturday. But we've seen, okay, as we don't, we're not Stevie Craigan, we don't perhaps see them week in, week out for under 20s, maybe don't see them every day in training. But for a one-off game, you know, this is a different conversation we're having here. You know, a couple of weeks ago, or a few times during the course of the podcast, we've had conversations about our ability to bring through young players. This is a separate issue. This is about a team that was decimated in midfield, that has midfielders in the squad. And Jack Leach, you have a midfielder who played quite a lot of times for the first team under McCall and did well on a number of those occasions. You know, even if, you know, you were going to move Law into the centre of midfield, you have Luke Watt, who, again, you know, has played first team football at times, you know, knows how to play in that position, Cadden has come off the bench a number of times. So, you know, you're talking about players who are in your squad who play in those positions. So it's a different discussion for me. You can be the most inept manager at bringing through young players in the world. You might not trust anybody under the age of 21 to play in your first team. But when you're going into a game like Saturday, when you actually have and crying out for players that play in midfield, and you have players who play in midfield who have played in the first team, to completely overlook them and reshuffle your team to such an extent that you're, you know, filling gap and then creating a gap, then filling a gap, then creating a gap, it just seems so kind of, it just comes across to me as trying to be smart, you know, almost trying to be inventive, trying to do something completely different so that if it comes off, then, you know, it's tactical genius. Again, I mentioned that we saw up at Dingwall, you know, the idea to play Marvin Johnson at left back. I think as soon as we found that out, we all just looked at each other and, you know, in amazement that he was going to play someone with so obviously little defensive knowledge at left back. And lo and behold, it was an absolute disaster. So that's a concern, because you are going to get suspensions, you are going to get injuries, and you need to realise that, okay, you might not think Jack Leach is going to make it, you might not think Chrissy Cadden is the best player in the world, but they know how to play the positions that you're missing in certain weeks. And if you're not going to play them, and you decide to shuffle your team to the extent that we did on Saturday, if you get your arses handed to you, then you should come out and you should admit that you made an absolute mess of it, rather than suggesting you had absolutely no choice.
But at what point here is the reshuffle so massive? I understand, obviously, Josh Law is our right back. Josh Law has played midfield many a time. I believe he was a midfielder for Aldershot, or whoever it was he played with. Stevie Hamill is a fullback. Granted, he's not a right back, he's a fullback. Joe Chalmers, again, is a fullback. These guys play these positions, or have played these positions, much the same way you're talking about these youngsters who have played these positions. So, again, the reshuffle, in my opinion, wasn't too massive. The one thing I wouldn't have done, as I said, would have been split up the back four. And I can understand, obviously, you know, people arguing that point, but I don't see where the reshuffle was that massive, to be honest. I think we were just completely, obviously we were completely outclassed, but I think there's quite a lot being made by a few people, you know, when I'm reading about the boards and things like that, about the reshuffle and stuff, but I don't see it being that much a change compared to, as you say, maybe just bringing in one or two other players to play the same positions.
See, I'd need to completely disagree, and I think one of the reasons for me is Josh Law, to my memory, he's never played central midfield. He's played kind of, you know, attacking midfield against Stirling, on, you know, either flank, you know, at that time when McCall was playing with essentially a forward three behind the striker, a left winger, right winger, attacking midfielder. He's played there. As far as I'm aware, I thought he was a right back at whatever mob, you know, I don't know if it was Aldershot or whoever. I'm sure he was a right back there, and that's why he eventually ended up back there. You know, again, you're playing against Hearts, you're playing in a big, wide park at Tynecastle with guys like Sam Nicholson. You know, they're wingers, those fast wingers are integral to their game. So the idea of then making such drastic changes at fullback, i.e. playing Stevie Hamill, who is nothing but a left-back. Yes, he might know the positional sense of fullback, but, you know, he doesn't have a right foot. I mean, he'll just get taken to shreds time and time again if you're playing against a one-sided fullback. And then Joe Chalmers has just been really, really poor since he came in. So for me, the actual fact that if you have what was essentially one position needing filled, if you accept that you were always going to bring in Ainsworth for the right midfielder, that's Lasley's position needs filled. So you bring a player in to play that position. If the player you move to that position then creates another hole, and then you move someone to fill that hole and create another hole and put someone in there who hasn't played in months and has never looked remotely good, that to me is a big reshuffle. You've completely changed your back four, a back four that has been settled since McGee came in, a back four that has actually looked really well organised and done well. You've completely restructured your midfield, including a guy who, to my mind, has never played in that kind of central midfield role. So I'm the opposite. I think it was really far more sort of drastic changes than ever needed to be made.
I guess the question from this point now is, what next? The landscape of the league's changed a fair bit, even just with the weekend results. Still got two games in hand to Kilmarnock, who sit in 11th place at the moment, but two tricky away fixtures at that. I guess that the next couple of weeks will be very telling. We could get dragged back into the fight. By no means is the top six out with their reach. I know one result wouldn't shape your season, but I do think that it possibly has made the next couple of weeks absolutely pivotal.
I think that's always been the case as well, to be honest with you. The from 11th, you know, up until maybe 5th or 6th, whatever it is, it's been very, very tight, and it was only ever going to take, you know, a couple of results for us to either move up or down a couple of positions. So you're 100% right, you say the next couple of fixtures are going to be crucial, but I think that's always been the case. And I don't know if Dundee United are getting any better, but I think that, you know, Dundee United's game being off when it was is maybe going to come back to haunt us a wee bit.
That'll be a very interesting game on Saturday at Tannadice, Dundee United against Kilmarnock. I think if Kelly were to win that game, you would almost say that United are certainly down. They win it, I know the gap would still be 11 points, but that could maybe give them a wee bit of hope that they could turn things around, yeah?
Possibly. I think that's obviously what Mixu and United will be hoping for, you know, just that one game that can kind of kickstart their season. But Jim Spence, I was listening to Jim Spence on Off the Ball on Saturday before our game, and, you know, even he was quite adamant and quite candid in admitting that Dundee United are absolutely doomed. As far as he's concerned, there is absolutely no chance they're staying up, which, you know, when you look at the table, it's hard to really disagree with. But as for us, you know, just on that note, you know, the idea of us getting sucked back down, it might be because I'm the one of the three of us who wasn't there that I'm slightly more optimistic. But based on what we've seen the last few weeks, as I said, if we can get Lasley back into the middle of the park, then I think we'll look a lot more comfortable. If we can go back to the back four that we've actually had the last few weeks, I would be quite confident. Yes, the mentality thing is an issue. How do we react from here? But I think when you take, you know, everything we've done the last few weeks as a whole, I think it's still, you know, there's no need to kind of start worrying about relegation quite yet. I think we should still be looking to push forward. You know, what was it, a week or two ago we were talking about possible for Europe and cup runs and things like that. As ridiculous as the result was on Saturday, sometimes these things happen in football. So I would still be quite confident for Saturday and beyond that.
I'm very similar to yourself, Jay, as you say, you know, pretty confident that it was just a, you know, a major blip there. But I think what we really need to do is bring in somebody again like Grimshaw, because as you've quite rightly said, you know, we seem to play a sort of 4-3, a random winger, and then two forwards. And when, you know, when it was Johnson on the left, Grimshaw seemed to fill in brilliantly. He knew when to step out to right midfield, he knew when to come inside, and you know, he was working that brilliantly. It was obviously, you know, the way McGee had them set up as well, but Grimshaw was great in that position. So I think we need to, if we're obviously not going to look within our own squad at, you know, the other players there, but we need to actually bring somebody in who can do a similar job to Grimshaw.
See, I think with cards on the table, after 25 minutes, myself and Buster were both back in the pub. Unfortunately, they were showing the game on the bloody television in the pub, so couldn't escape it. But I think the thing that concerned me out with the strange selection was how badly overpowered we were on Saturday. Like, it felt like there barely had been a ball kicked and we were 2-0 down. It just, like, staggering how quick out the blocks Hearts were compared to us. And I just hope that we're not going to start showing a kind of poor big match mentality, which perhaps crept in at times last season, right up until what the two biggest games were, the two playoff games. But I think that was maybe telling, that we were lacking the midfield spark, and how we were just absolutely obliterated in the first 25 minutes. After that, we actually seemed to be a wee bit more solid and recovered before Hearts finished the game strongly again. But that does concern me slightly going into Saturday's game against the Ross County team, who are also fast starters. dynamic and they're a physical side as well.
You're right there, and you say it seemed to be, you know, Hearts went up the park twice and had two goals, maybe even three times actually, with the, you know, the getting their penalty as well. But it was kind of, you know, I can't argue with that at all. That it was kind of concerning how, you know, we seemed to be kind of slow at the box. As you says, once we left after, you know, 25 minutes, whatever it was, when they scored the third, by the time we got back to the pub, there was already 30 other Millwall fans in there as well. So, you know, we weren't the only ones in that aspect either. But when we were watching it in the pub, there was times when I was looking up in the second half, as you say, and it seemed to be all us. You know, maybe five minutes, 10 minutes here and there. But, you know, obviously we got absolutely hammered, so essentially that meant nothing as well. But I think it'll be a, you know, a completely, I think McGee will go through them, to be fair. It'll go through them, it'll be a completely different mindset, I suppose, when it comes to Ross County on Saturday.
I think to a certain extent that the another 20s are playing Dunfermline tomorrow night. See, for me, I would punish a few of them by making them. I think whereas the 20s, of course, it should be used to showcase talent and give guys a chance. I think in the same token, if you're not performing, you should be demoted a level and made to play in these Tuesday night games in front of two men and their dog, just to maybe sober you up a wee bit and kind of show you that it's not all going to be top flight football if you're underperforming. I think the manager and the coaching staff really need to send a message to these players that Saturday's performance simply wasn't good enough and it won't be tolerated.
I think the issue though is, I mean, again, I'm only really going from, you know, I listen to a lot of the game on the radio, I've seen the highlights, you know, both on MFC TV and on the BBC website, I've read the reports, but I wasn't there, and even although, you know, you guys left early, presumably, you know, you said it was in the pub, so you probably saw a lot more than I did, but, you know, for me, I don't know who, you know, yeah, there might be players underachieving, but if you're going to take the folk from this, you know, the first team who just weren't good enough on Saturday and make them turn up tomorrow night, then are you going to put Mark McGee in charge of the team? Because for me, you know, if we're sitting going to put so much emphasis on his team selection being ultimately wrong, then he's surely the one to blame. So, you know, I mean, do you put Stevie, presumably, you know, did Stevie Hamill have a poor game? Did they have a poor enough game to play tomorrow night? Get demoted to under 20s, well, how much of that is because he was played at right back? I think that when it was such a catastrophic lineup, in my opinion, I think it would be then hard to sort of single out players who basically end up, you know, the negative effects of the team that they've got around them.
Perhaps not experienced pros like Hamill, who have earned enough plaudits over their career at Motherwell to be given an excuse and to be excused for a poor performance. But guys like Joe Chalmers, for instance, a guy that's kind of on the fringes just now, really, really disappointed. You're thinking, these guys either need to step up or they're not going to make the grade. So it's, I actually quite like Chalmers in the early stages of the season. And when I've seen him recently, I'm just not convinced at all by his ability, by his positional sense. He looks out his depth. I think also the manager needs to kind of be humbled a wee bit and learn some lessons, and maybe going along to the 20s game and seeing the players that he left out perform, maybe a wee bit of an education for him as well. Far be it from me to question Mark McGee's managerial ability. He's possibly better than Football Manager than me as well. I just think that after such a harsh, harsh defeat, that lessons need to be learned, not just by the players, but also by the management as well.
No, I do agree, but I think, you know, I would be more inclined to agree. I do agree, especially with, you know, putting players into, well, what would have been the old reserves. I think, you know, a good thing about the old reserve league was if you were having a player who wasn't playing well over, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, you could demote them. I think to demote them straight after one performance might be slightly harsh at times, because, you know, there can be a lot of reasons for that. You know, everybody's human. Sometimes things just don't go your way on a certain day. I think if we turned up on Saturday and put out, you know, the same team that has done so well under McGee over the last couple of weeks or months, and had the same performance and the same result, then I would be more inclined to agree. But for me personally, I think that the changes that were made had such an adverse effect on the team. You know, as I said, as soon as I saw the lineup, you know, about 2 o'clock, you know, I was saying to you guys on Facebook the fact that, you know, I had the absolute fear about the game. You know, it gave me the absolute fear to look at that lineup, and I think it would then be a bit hypocritical to then start, you know, saying, oh well, he should be playing in the reserves and he should be playing in the reserves because they weren't good enough. Because for me, the biggest problem was the lineup itself. But no, you're right. I think if you could, you know, at the end of the day, something needs to happen where, you know, as you said earlier, these young guys, you know, your Leeches, your Caddens, there needs to be a bit of clarification. Is there a route to the first team for them? And if there's not, then they shouldn't be here. And if it takes McGee to go to the under-20s to watch these players, to either realise he was wrong in dismissing them and not playing them on Saturday, or to have, you know, confirmed what he thinks and then move them on either in January at the end of the season, then, you know, that would be a good thing, because it doesn't do anybody any good to have, you know, midfielders who can't even get in the team when you've got no midfielders.
Yeah, absolutely right. Well, have a quick look at the Ross County game. Firstly, I'm just actually remembering a tale of a few staunch Motherwell fans saying they saw the team line up at 2 o'clock on Saturday and rushed to the bookies. They were kind of embarrassed while telling us this story, but they were all lumping on Hearts, and Hearts minus a goal, Hearts minus two. So at least, despite our woes, a few people actually made something out of the afternoon. But I thought that was quite telling, that as soon as people were hearing of the team, they got that fear that you discussed when telling that story there. Looking ahead to County on Saturday, they were involved in a very entertaining 3-2 game, a 3-2 defeat, albeit, against Aberdeen yesterday. They'll be without their main man, Liam Boyce, who he's got a good scoring record against us, and just generally a very good scoring record in the Scottish Premiership. Jay, the Ross County team that bulldozed us at Dingwall in November, we've got to hope that they don't turn up, and the same Motherwell team that faced Ross County in that day don't turn up as well.
Well, yeah, I've been, as I said earlier, you know, that was a game where we had Marvin Johnson at left back and Jake Taylor playing as well. So I think we can safely say that it won't be the same team, at least in terms of lineup. As I said, I think, you know, with the potential for, you know, Lasley coming back in, I think that it instantly gives the team a massive improvement. It gives a lot more balance. You know, instantly we just bring in Lasley in, into the middle of the park. You can keep Ainsworth out on the right, you can move Law back to right back, and you can move Hamill out to the left, and suddenly you've got, you know, a really good, you know, a really strong starting 11 that isn't a far cry off the team that's been playing so well under McGee. In reality, you're only replacing Ainsworth for Grimshaw, which, you know, I admit, as I would prefer to have Grimshaw in there, but, you know, that's the kind of team that, you know, before Saturday, I think you would have been quite happy with. You'd have been confident, you would have been positive, and I would like to think that we can sort of go into, you know, Saturday's game with County with that same mindset, because, you know, I watched the Aberdeen game, Aberdeen-Ross County yesterday, and although the first 45 minutes in particular were possibly the most entertaining half of football I've seen this season, it wasn't, you know, particularly down to fantastic football. It was just, you know, two sides going at it, some dodgy defending, the park was a bit bobbly, so, you know, Ross County, although they held their own and did well against Aberdeen for long spells, and created a lot of chances, there were other factors there. I would still be confident, having watched them yesterday, that, you know, if we go back to that kind of that kind of style, that kind of lineup, and more importantly, that kind of confidence. You know, if we can make sure the heads don't go down, because we mentioned it last week, that one of the most, I think, prominent and most obvious aspects to the team since McGee came in was a certain confidence. Well, a lot of players, so if we can make sure that that hasn't been extinguished and we can sort of get that back in play, then, you know, I would still be confident getting into Saturday, and I would still be very, very hopeful of a home win.
Buster, I guess that's it. We've talked about recovery. That's the key thing, isn't it? The guys, despite how heavy the defeat was, don't dwell on it for too long. Get back to training, get the heads up, and focus on gaining 3 points from what is a very important game on Saturday.
Yep. You were talking about, you know, punishing one or two of the players. You know, they might be had a one or two extra training sessions, or a wee one or two extra hard training sessions, you know, this week, just to make up for it. But you know, I think there's going to be questions asked. You know, and they're going to have something to prove. So, as Jay says, you know, the team's not a million miles away from, you know, what we would consider our best team 2 weeks ago. So, you know, it's not one that we should be fearing in any way, but it's one we should definitely be looking at, you know, picking up the 3 points. If we're going to play, you know, Johnson and Ainsworth, there's maybe just the question of defensive frailties on either side, but as we say, you know, that would probably be our best team to know anyway, so it'll be interesting to see if we can actually, you know, put a performance together and coming away with the 3 points.
See, I don't want to be like I'm calling for heads to be put in the block or anything like that, but I do. The kind of punishment thing, it seems much harsher when you said it than when I said it, I'm sure. But I hope that they can go in and put their heads up and have a laugh in training and work hard and just kind of knuckle down. That they don't forget how sore a defeat that was on Saturday, because as we said last week, going into the game with a degree of confidence about it. I know even at that point Liam Grimshaw had left the club, but, and we knew Lasley was suspended, but I think the way we were playing suggested that we could at least compete with Hearts, and I quite fancied our chances of getting a point right up until seeing that selection at 2 o'clock. So maybe it's a case of not forgetting how good a run we were on prior to that, but learning the lessons from what is a sore defeat to a team that many Motherwell supporters regard as a big rival as well.
Well, also in terms of punishment, I think that, you know, when you talk about dropping players, and obviously you naturally drop players if they're not playing well, but the idea of, you know, making them play on a Tuesday night and for the under-20s to punish them and things like that, I think that kind of at times ignores the fact that, you know, a lot of the players will probably punish themselves. I mean, we talked earlier about Joe Chalmers. I don't particularly rate Chalmers. You know, you said you thought he looked half decent when he first came in, but there's a player who has been given a really good chance at Motherwell, you know, a chance to build a career. He's still a young player. Given Hamill is getting on a bit, you know, perhaps a chance to come in and be a long-term replacement for him at left-back. He's struggled when he's got his chance. He's had a couple of injuries. And suddenly, you know, thanks to, you know, a suspension to Lasley and Grimshaw on his way, suddenly out of nowhere, he's straight back into the first team. He's got a chance to impress. And he's not taking it. He's played poorly. And I would like to think, I mean, I don't know the guy. He might not care. But I would be surprised if he's not, you know, beating himself up a little bit about that, the fact that he got that chance that he's been waiting for, and you know, you would imagine he's blown it, because I can't imagine he's going to be anywhere near the team against County. So I think, you know, in a way that is punishment anyway, without having to turn out for the under-20s.
But I suppose a certain element to flip it on its head is that he's made that poor performance, and he's been disappointing for a variety of reasons we can put it down to, but surely his follow-up game, the 20s, is a perfect environment for it, because then if you make a mistake, it's not going to be as costly as doing it in the first team. And it might be the case that if you put in a much more improved shift, the confidence levels begin to sneak up again and you perhaps mentally feel more ready for going back into the first team.
Well, I mean, possibly, but I think, you know, I think there's a good chance he might find himself in the under-20s tomorrow, but I don't think it will be, you know, a kind of a conscious, deliberate punishment. I just think it will be because he's blown his chance. So I think we're probably suggesting the same thing, but I think my point is that it's not so much a punishment as just what naturally happens if you're not good enough and you're not playing well enough, rather than, you know, an active decision to punish a player. I think Joe Chalmers, you know, McGee, I think, would have found out on Saturday if he didn't know already that, you know, Hamill needs to be playing left-back, Law at the moment needs to be playing right-back, and I think Chalmers will probably find his chances very, very limited now between, well, perhaps for the rest of the season, and I think, you know, that is a punishment on its own, whether he's playing for the under-20s or not. You know, he's got a chance, or he did have a chance when he first came in, and he's not taking it, and I think he would be beating himself up over that, as I would imagine most players would. You know, I would think, you know, if there's any player there who went home and sat the night for Tynecastle and didn't feel completely downhearted and completely disappointed in it and was beating themselves up about it, then there's something wrong there. And I think at times that can be punishment enough, because, you know, you're looking for that reaction. And it's all very well sort of saying to a player, okay, you're going in the under-20s on Tuesday, but that, you know, you're talking about getting in there, playing well, getting the confidence back. It can go the other way. You know, we're sitting here wondering whether the players are going to, you know, go into the game against County back with the confidence they had before Tynecastle. Well, they might do, but if you, you know, isolate one or two players and pick them out to play in the under-20s, then it could go the other way. You could even, you know, damage their confidence further.
Yeah, I just can't. I just think that there's so many just now on the fringes of whether they're going to make it or not. They should. I would like to see these games as really, really important for them and a good chance to demonstrate what they can do, because it feels these games are essentially being ignored given the team selection on Saturday. It must be more significant than just a kick about on a Tuesday night. And that's the case. That's not the case just now, sorry. They're not being used as a vehicle to spot talent or to spot players that could actually do a job, or seemingly that's the case anyway, because with the exception of Ben Hall, no one has come in a starting berth, and those that have come off the bench are given small cameo roles when the game either doesn't matter or just to wind down the clock.
I think that just talking about the sort of devaluation of the old reserves, I think it did become a bit devalued when they changed it from, you know, a reserve thing to an unders, basically. But everything else you say, they're sort of bang on. You know, there doesn't seem to be much players, you know, much. I can't think of the word I'm trying to use, sort of, but basically the players in the under-20s, whatever it is, don't seem to be taking any consideration, as you said. So, you know, is it just a fact that, you know, they're only there for the sake of it, you know, to give maybe one or two of the older players a run out as well, just in case they get involved at certain times?
It's quite a damning indictment of our youth system at the moment, though, that is the case, that young guys aren't coming through, and it must be a worry. We're talking, we're arranging to get Matty on about Grimshaw and the disappointment of the fact that he signed for Preston when we thought that perhaps we had a good chance of getting him. And I think one of the major factors, apart from the fact he was a very good footballer, the disappointment of missing out on him is that we'll not be able to sell him on and make the club a bit of money. And there's no one really there at the moment that you would think coming through that we're going to be able to sell on for a decent sum. And if that's the vision of the board and the football club now, then that's not really coming to fruition.
Yep. You know, you're right, as you say, there's no one in there in the sort of unders really that you think could maybe move on for a bit of money. Again, it brings us back to the sort of the Dom Thomas argument of whether or not he should be, you know, getting more game time here or getting game time elsewhere, or not doing what's what. But other than it's been mentioned, Ben Hall, there's no really MD coming through for the from the youth setup whatsoever. So to me, it's just one of those things. Unfortunately, you know, that it seems to come and go. We seem to pick up one or two players every so often who come through, and then you know maybe we go 2 or 3 years and nobody comes through. But it's, you know, I don't know. I don't have any answers to it. So I don't know where to go for it.
I just think it sometimes can get slightly desperate. In the past, they've kind of hung our hats and selling on players. Remember, there was a real desire from the club eventually to sell Jamie Murphy, Sean Hutchison. And it's these are things that kind of make or break for the football club. It gets to the stage that it's that important. If we had a steady stream of young players coming through and be given game time in the first team, I think it would be a hell of a lot easier for the club to achieve its aim of being a, I don't want to say a feeder club, but a club that sustains itself on being able to sell on young talent. Maybe the scouting policy applied by Ian Barraclough, for all it was absolutely wild at times, there's guys like Marvin Johnson coming in, Louis Moult, guys that you would think in a, perhaps in a year's time, perhaps in 6 months' time, that could move on for a decent transfer fee, but that's yet to be seen. My concern is the lack of young players in our squad, like a young Scottish players, is very concerning. And I would have thought we'd have maybe seen a wee bit of movement on that front, given that the owner of the football club and the general manager have both stressed the importance of the club developing young talent.
Well, you're right, and I mean, again, I think we've spoken in the past as well about how, I think we've mentioned, you know, the likes of Hamilton Accies been quite a good example of where, you know, they seem to do really well with their conveyor belt of young players. And I think one of the reasons is because, you know, they obviously get their chance. And you need to be putting forward the image of a club where young players can come through. It's all very well kind of looking at it and going, well, yeah, you've got players in the squad who have came through, but you're looking at Lasley, Hamill, Pearson, you know, the guys who came through years ago and then moved on, and they only came through in the first place because they went into administration. When you're in a situation, I don't want to keep harking back to Saturday, but if you're putting forward the image of a football club where young footballers in your under-20s can't even get in the team when you are completely void of players in the middle of the park, then you're not really giving that image out. You know, what young player, if they're given a few offers, I mean, nowadays, you know, so many young players are kind of given a good few offers, you know, there's so many scouts are out there and that kind of thing. If you've got a young, you know, a young Scottish footballer, maybe 16, 17, you know, really highly rated, playing, you know, wherever, Central Belt, Lanarkshire, and Motherwell, one of the clubs in for them, why is he going to go there? Why go to Motherwell where, you know, you could be playing for the under-20s, and even if you're position is crying out for you, you don't even get a game, when you can go to somebody like Hamilton Accies, perhaps be coming off the bench within 6 months, starting within a year, and then get a move to the Premiership after 2 or 3 years. You know, the image we have of our youth system is absolutely terrible, and it's, you know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, because, you know, so it's in the best interest of the player, whether it's their family or their agent or the player themselves who's making the decision, you know, that comes into it. They're going to want to go somewhere where there's a journey to the first team at least, or at least the potential for it. But when you're not even giving players a chance, you know, when you should be, never mind when they might be ready, you know, it's completely the wrong image you're selling there. And we are far from, you know, a team that produces young players. It's just not what we do. And until we start giving the, you know, start going through the motions and start at least acting like a team that does, then we're never going to start.
Guys, we're pretty much nearing time up, but we've got this week's Remember Well question, and Jay, I believe you've picked a really cheery subject matter just to end the podcast on a better note than discussing a 6-0 defeat for 50-odd minutes.
Well, that's it. If you go to Tynecastle and you beat 6-0, you can always rely on the MFC podcast to cheer you up. Remember Well question is... you know, since the subject of absolute doons was sort of fresh in the memory, and it was quite a late Remember Well question because I'd done it, went up after Saturday. It was just basically the doons you remember, the absolute hammerings we've taken that you remember. Gordon and Wendy Quinn said, Partick Thistle 8, the Mighty Well 3. I was only 10 but can remember the feeling. Threw my bar scarf onto the pitch. I had to buy a new one for the next game. It was in December 1971. That was it. Ian Buchanan, of course, you know, obviously he's back involved this week after his claims that he text Buster last week. He says, 6-0 off Celtic in the League Cup, stuck in the main stand beside a shower of cretins. Bobby Watson was in charge. We'd signed players from Irvine that morning and we were simply dross. Ross Mitchell said, I remember us getting tanked 5-0 at Ibrox with Loudrup and Gaza scoring the goals for them. Away from the Old Firm, I remember us taking the lead at Tannadice before getting spanked 6-1 by a Jerren Nixon Dundee United side. Colin Blackwood, 4-0 against Hearts at Tynecastle in Scottish Cup 1990. Robert Caldwell, Tannadice in the Cup late 80s. I think we were in the first division and playing well. They destroyed us 6-1. Daniel Glacken losing 6-1 to Hibs at Fir Park with Malpass in charge. Graham Cosgrove says 7-1 against Celtic at Fir Park. On the 12th, that was only in the Facebook. It seems if you ask people for cheery things, you don't get a response. But if you want to tap into people's misery, suddenly there's millions flying through. So if you just hold on a second, I'll get this back up on the iPad. It's went missing. So Jerry McDermott said, September 82, a 7-0 doing from Celtic. No goals in the first 25 minutes or last 20 minutes, but Charlie Nicholas ran riot for 45 minutes in between. Matt Miller says, 4-6 goal home roastings by ICT and the Arabs during Malpass season. Chris, MFC fan 1886, says, losing 6-0, 5-0, 4-1 and 4-1 to Rangers in season 10-11. Andrew Patterson, an embarrassing 3-0 loss to Airdrie around 92, made worse by being caught storming away early by my Airdrie mates. Andy Meek says, Tynecastle in the Cup in the 80s pissing rain, no cover, 4-0 at half-time, ended 5-0, worst game ever. Kenny McFarlane, 5-0 by Aki's last New Year's Day, which I thought I'd end with since that was your favourite game of last season, Sparrow. But I think, in a way, that was quite a therapeutic moment for us all. I think we can all accept that Saturday maybe wasn't quite as bad as we thought.
No, it was still absolutely
I wasn't there.
I think that Hibs one stands out for me. That was a really, really good Hibs team. It had Thompson and Brown and an on form Ivan Sproul. I think it was 4-0 at half-time. We were lucky to get one. I think Stephen McGarry scored with a couple of minutes to go to try and then Hibs still managed to score another one after that just to rub salt in it. That was more of a battering than the 6-0 on Saturday, I think.
Well, Mitch actually mentioned another game that was the one that sprung to my mind, losing 5-0 to St Johnson away. I think it was Billy Davies' first game in charge, or possibly second, when I think George O'Boyle scored for the halfway line. So I just nicked that one for myself. I don't know if Buster can think of any.
No, the ones I was thinking of really were the 7-1 at home to Celtic, the George O'Boyle one that you just mentioned. I wasn't sure if it was 4 or 5, but you're right, it was one of Billy Davies' first games. I think one of the other ones which essentially meant nothing, but I mean, years ago when we all went to Dumfries, we got battered 4-0 in a friendly at Queen of the South. And I think they were in the old second division at the time. So that was one I always remembered as a kind of strange one when we got an absolute doing after him, even though it was just a pre-season friendly.
Oh, that's right. I think Clarkson got sent off in that game and we went pad on the river and found a dead seagull.
Aye, that was the best. That was a bloody... They were sending our the Pizza Hut across the road, sending our pizzas across the river to us and everything.
That's it. Simpler times.
Aye.
Right, that was a good... I feel really happy now. So 6-0 defeats... Oh, I've just dropped 10 pence.
Scramble!
6-0 defeats, dead seagulls, and pizzas getting delivered over the river. You get all the major talking points in this podcast. Guys, thanks very much for joining us. It was a wee bit depressing at times, but we got there.
Aye, no worries.
No, half it was depressing. I'm I'm hoping I have a nightmare tonight to cheer myself up.
Well, next week's Remember Well question will be the best dead animal you've found in a river in Dumfries.
We've got to add as well that we've got quite a small pool of contributors to the podcast, and we've had many guys on 5, 6, 7 times. We're always looking for new guests. If you fancy coming on the podcast, please get in touch with us and we'll sort it out. We could even have you on next week if you really desire. But until then, you've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Thanks and goodbye. Search on.